line looks good for us, but same kind of deal. There's a north-south line about to go down.
Yeah, they were hoping to get a little precip later in the week, Thursday, Friday.
Mm-hmm. I've already seen a lot of watering going on.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that early?
I can't remember. Do we buy these brand new, or did we?
Yeah, yes. Long water.
That was a brand new.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I mean, there are people that start in May, but
just damage with this thing, huh?
Especially on the south.
And there's still any of the old Sabres laying around here?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We're getting more moisture. There's a big gradient between Belgrade. Belgrade gets
scary
hell precipitation around.
Yeah.
15, 16 inches or something.
How's the car business?
And then
it's good if we can get any cars. They, you know, we sold three new today because all three showed up on the truck. So the day that they get here, they all sell.
There are some places.
It's just if we like get it.
56 inch.
And that's
John
the chip
Hancock
thing?
On that
range.
You what?
Is that the chip thing?
Yeah.
There's like hundreds of them that are built.
Still hot snow.
And they're just
missing the chip.
Yeah, that hot. The reservoir a couple months ago was kind of low.
Yeah,
it starts out on that day too.
You what?
Well, I found out about that day too.
Do you want me to swear them in or just have them
stop? Yeah,
oh, really?
They kind of adjust the creek flow.
See what they want.
Dam goes.
Do you want to be sworn in?
No.
Okay. Then I just need you to sign this. And then go ahead and print your name, address, and sign there.
Okay.
And Ken, I got your email. Thank you so much.
Human beings still doing silly stuff, keeping you busy.
My wife had a fun laundry list. I didn't want to do anything.
I'm certain of very few things in my life that people will always be icky. There's one of them.
This
must be a technical law enforcement term.
And I just need you to sign that, and I can notarize it.
I don't really even need this thing either. Do you keep that original?
Yeah.
Do you want me to keep it?
Yeah, I don't.
Stick it in your file. That's where mine is. That's your file.
I just take a picture.
I frame
okay.
You
Ken,
do?
Would you like this in your file?
Oh. I think it's a fancy frame.
Sure.
Hang it on the wall.
All right, let's call this meeting to order, huh?
We take new pictures, too.
We're taking new pictures tonight?
Everybody looks good. My picture looks so bad.
You want new pictures? We'll do that
tonight. Well, because we have to do Ken's. And so I figured maybe we could upload a new one to mine.
So you can watch us age
my name
too.
Yes.
So these are fancy new radios. Huh? Where should we stand? In front of the gray part of the wall? Or should we go stand in front of the truck?
Where?
Let's go stand in front of a truck.
We could do a group photo.
Let's do a group photo.
You could do a group photo on top. And then, hey, there I am.
Look at each
other.
Great.
Yes. One ears.
Yeah, they're going to have to adjust stocking rates and stuff.
I think so.
Do we have the ability, if a customer was on the Zoom thing, that we could see them?
Yeah, that's the point of looking at the TV.
Okay, so we could actually have someone that has their laptop and they could zoom to us.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Okay, everybody ready? Call to order. This unruly bunch. Let's go do a picture, a group picture in front of a fire truck. And then we'll come back and start business. Is there somebody? No, this is Brian Nicolai.
There's only one person on, and that's me.
Okay, let's go do that real quick.
So they're going to log in and see there's nobody here.
That's right.
Wonder what's going on.
The apocalypse.
Walk these ways.
Call for planting.
Done.
All done.
Now we just need rain.
Yeah.
And then I went on a boat trip last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Went down to the snow. It's good for the chair and all the clothes in case I want to go home.
is a coach, this 21st century adults. They can do laundry, they can cook.
Okay, welcome everybody.
Looks like we got one.
Patrick?
Patrick! Patrick, can you hear us?
Yes.
Oh, it's that Patrick.
Nice. Thank you for joining us. Okay, are there any comments on non-agenda items? A reminder to the public, this is being recorded. Okay. Oaths of office for trustees Miller and Biederman have been executed. Thank you so much for continuing to serve, and Ken, for you joining us. We hope this will be a fun public service item for you. I haven't even thought about election of board officers. I'm happy to serve as chair. What we've usually done, is, unless somebody wants to change a position, we've kept the positions the same. So I guess we could have a discussion.
Because I want to take over the treasurer.
I figured you wanted to do that.
I'm open to that suggestion.
We do need a secretary, however. Nick was the secretary, so.
I think that's the new guy on the block, isn't it?
No punishment.
Do you have any objection to serving a secretary?
Depends on how, you know, I do disappear for a couple weeks at a time. You know, every other month or so.
Not an issue.
Not an issue. Yeah,
okay.
With Cheryl here, life's good for the good trustees on this board.
Yeah, so sadly, my email and everything doesn't disappear, so.
How about we entertain a motion to elect the current slate plus Ken as secretary?
So moved.
Second.
Is there any public comment on the motion? Okay, Cheryl, call to roll.
Oh, I forgot about that. Ken?
Yes. Here.
JJ?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, consent agenda. Is there any item on the consent agenda a trustee would like removed for further discussion? Ken, just FYI, the consent agenda is sent out in advance to all board members. That's the email that comes in. So it's a, sort of a pro forma motion to approve it, but we always give board members opportunities if they have questions about the detailed financial statements that come along with it to remove an item from the consent agenda if they'd like further discussion on it. So that's just how that works. Okay, can I have a motion?
Motion to approve consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Any public comment on the motion? All those in favor, Cheryl?
JJ?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, this is the annual meeting of the Highlight Rural Fire District. And generally what we do, or what we have been doing in recent years, is providing a bit of this, a state of the union. We start out typically with an introduction of the trustees and staff and volunteers who are back barbecuing something. And then I'll start out with sort of the chairman's overview, and each board member will have an opportunity to provide their comments on the state of the union. And then we will entertain public comment. So starting on my left is our newest trustee, Ken Biederman, newly elected secretary. Thank you, Ken. Walt Zydak to my immediate left, Justin Miller to my right, JJ
to your far
to my farther right, and Cheryl over there, and interim chief Brian Nicolai. So just starting off, the state of your fire district is excellent, I would say. We continue to make fantastic progress squirreling away funds for our various capital replacement accounts, and those can always be found in the board packet on the dashboard that's also posted on our website. Walt will no doubt talk about that in more detail, but it's critically important for the fiscal sanity of our taxpayers that we every year take money from our operating budget and put it into these reserve funds. It prevents us from going out for mill levies for ordinary things. There was a day and a time in this fire department where we could not afford to buy things like turnout gear and breathing apparatus. We had to ask the residents for a mill levy to do that. That has not been the case in well over a decade, which we are thankful for, and it's the position of this board member that we will continue to add to these funds every year, because it's critically important we don't get behind our apparatus and equipment replacement schedule. It's very expensive to buy all this stuff that rolls down the road that provides service, and we've done a good job keeping that going. I'd just like to make one other comment on the culture of the organization, which we are simply the stewards of. I think a ton of credit must go to Jason Rubisky and Brian Nicolai and the rest of his staff. We have a roster that I think is the envy of most volunteer fire departments in the county and probably indeed the state, and that's due in part to the fantastic training we provide, opportunities, and just this being a really good place to volunteer time. So our district residents are fantastic recipients of that culture and the service that they get from volunteers. So with that, maybe I'll start with you, JJ, if you'd like to make comments. No need to if you don't want to, but we'll start and let Ken go last so he can hear all what you guys have to say.
Yeah, the state of the fire department is healthy. And having been in the fire service for my whole adult life and a member of this system, I can tell you that it's healthy, because I've seen it when it wasn't. And I've seen a lot of other places that aren't. And I've traveled a lot and seen a lot. And we are just right for what we're doing here. This is a very well done kind of deal. So I'm happy.
Nothing? Mr. Wall?
I guess I'd like to concur with all the previous statements that were made, especially with regard to the culture that's been developed in this fire department. You know, I think our interim chief is carrying that ball and doing a fantastic job of maintaining the culture and building upon the culture that we have. And so I think we're in good hands. We're also in good financial hands, as was mentioned. I think we're doing a pretty good job of providing the operating resources that are needed by the department, and then also planning for future capital expenditures that are coming down the pipeline based on a replacement plan that's been put together by our staff. And so I guess as a final statement, I just concur with everything that's been said. I think this fire department's doing well, and hopefully as stewards that we can maintain that momentum.
Anything you'd like to say, Ken?
No, I'm excited. I see a lot of things happen between this meeting and the last meeting that happened quicker than I thought was going to be, and it's only because of the culture and the things that are going on that we have kids that want to be a part of the programs, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Chief Nicolai, anything from you on the state of the union?
No, the only thing I'd just add is the department is in really good shape. Current roster is sitting at roughly 45, and that is comprised of currently 8 captains and another 8 lieutenants, and the rest are firefighters. Our resident programs are fully staffed with 8 residents at Sourdough, 4 residents at Cottonwood, and 3 residents at Ray. We're on track to for surely break our call volume if things stay the way they are. Last year we ran just under 600 calls for the year, and looking at the projection for where we're at currently, this year we should be well into the 600s, approaching 700 calls. That's where we're at.
Excellent. Recent news stories. Is that you, Cheryl? Is there anything to report?
You know, as part of the bylaw packet where each one of these topics are to be addressed,
okay,
so we really haven't had anything recently.
Okay.
We haven't been in the news much lately.
Yeah.
Okay, we've done the board presentations, review of the bylaws. So just again, a quick comment on what bylaws are. They're documents that essentially govern the way we operate these meetings. They are completely ours to do with what we want. They are a little bit like the Constitution in that they shouldn't be changed willy-nilly.
And we have an opportunity to review them every year, and we can make them whatever we want to make them or whatever board would like to make them. So in, if you're interested in how the meeting runs, what a quorum is, the notice of the meetings, all that kind of stuff, that is in the bylaws. Is there any trustee who had any suggestions for revisions of the bylaws? Hearing none? Okay. Is there any, let's see, review of board policies? We don't have the policies in front of us, but we completed an update of the policies of the board last year. I think we got everything up to date, all posted on our website. I don't have anything that's eating away at me from a policy perspective. Again, board members can review those at their leisure, and we can adjust those any time of the year. It doesn't necessarily have to be in this particular meeting. Was there any policy issues any board member wanted to bring up at this meeting?
I just wanted to, the correction on page 3 of the job description, I guess, what correction occurred there?
So that's with the fire chief description?
Yeah, let's get to that next, Walt. Let me close out this kind of stuff. So any policy stuff? No policy stuff? Don't hear any of that? Okay. Again, take a look at them if you want to, and we can fix those up anytime. Okay, the fire chief's description, correction on page 3. Can somebody answer Walt's question?
So Nick Schrager noticed in the job description when we put it out for bid or for applications that there was a reference to the Ray Sourdough fire departments. Oh. So that was just, I corrected that to the Highlight Rural Fire District. And then JJ had gone through it and also kind of made it better, lack of a better word.
Okay.
Oh, I see. So at the top, okay. That was a good catch.
Any board comment on the fire chief's description? Job description? Okay, is there any public comment on regular agenda item 1, letters A through E? All right, that part is finished. Item 2, discussion and decision, report and recommendation from the Fire Chief Search Committee. JJ or Justin, how would you guys like to proceed? You have the floor.
The Highlight Fire District initiated a search for a fire chief. The committee was assigned, consisting of board members Justin Miller and Jason Jarrett. Advertisements for the position were posted and applications were received. And we received, what, total 7 or 8?
7.
From all over the country. The selection panel, consisting of board members Justin Miller and Jason Jarrett, volunteer representatives Mike Hilber and Tyla Christopher, and the administrative representation with Cheryl Wyman, was convened on May 10th at the Sourdough Station. There were a total of the 8 applications for the position. Based on the criteria for interview selections listed in this document, 1 applicant was interviewed. The selection panel was unanimous that no other applicants met the criteria for interview. Mr. Chairman, what would you like to go with the interview panel recommendations?
Tell us the recommendation.
Panel unanimously recommends that Assistant Chief Brian Nicolai be offered the position of Fire Chief for the Highlight Fire Department.
Thank you. Board discussion.
I guess I would agree that we've got a pretty good candidate, and more than pretty good. I think we've got an excellent candidate that will maintain the culture and character of this department moving forward into the future. And I would agree with what the search committee found in their process.
More board discussion. Is there a motion?
I would move that the board accept the interview panel's recommendation for the position of the fire chief.
I'll second.
Is there any public comment on the motion? Cheryl, call the roll.
Ken?
Yes.
JJ?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Congratulations, Brian.
Yep.
We you are have been thrilled. Fired from the assistant chief job.
You are fired from the assistant chief job. That was good, JJ.
Is this an offer letter for you?
Session this?
You can return that to Cheryl.
Do you want an executive session on the rest of that?
Oh, jeez. I'm just sort of basking in the glow right now.
Oh, well, then cheese. Just glow for a while, then.
Yeah.
Well, if I could make a comment, thank you very much. I very much appreciate the board giving me the offer, putting in the trust in me. I feel honored and very humble being involved with this organization as long as I have been, to be able to take the helm of it and keep it moving in the right direction. I feel like we're on track to really to be in a good spot for years to come, and I only look forward to it, hoping and building that with you guys. So. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. We appreciate it. We appreciate you hanging in there through the process. And just now, Cheryl, which I will forward to you, I have a resignation letter from our former chief.
That's good.
Mr. Rubisky.
Didn't he retire?
He kind of needs to be retired before we hire you, so it's a little late, but I'll send this to Cheryl here. What else do we need to do in this, JJ? I don't think we need an executive session. I think those have to be noticed, actually.
Okay. We'd like to make a motion for making the effective date of the hiring, and then we can talk about the rest of it.
Okay. Go ahead, make a motion.
Move that the promotion to fire chief be effective.
I think it was March 16th.
Well, the pay.
May 18th, 2021 at $1,900.
Yeah, we've already made the
that's right,
the compensation inventory, yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any public comment on the motion? Okay, call to roll.
Ken?
Yes.
JJ?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, I think you can report the compensation we're proposing. It's public record. I've got no problem with people hearing that.
Yeah, the same thing with how we did the search.
Yeah. So, as an addition to that, there were six categories that the panel considered for the candidates to offer interviews for, and in the judgment of the committee, a candidate could demonstrate in their application five of the six criteria could be considered for an interview. We only had one of those, or any reference from credible sources or personal knowledge of the committee members that would indicate the candidate was suitable or not suitable, that they should be offered an interview. So there were criteria-based criteria information on deciding who we interviewed for that. The panel reviewed salary and compensation packages for current employees and other like fire departments in the area. It's the panel's recommendation that for the first year compensation package consisting of a salary of $115,000 plus the current benefits package be offered to Chief Nicolai. Following a successful evaluation after 1 year's performance, that the salary increased to $120,000 per year plus current benefits. Annual cost of living, tenure, or performance increases to be negotiated by the board and chief following the succession of the successful completion of the first year.
And tell us a little bit about the salary comparisons. Where were they from?
Big remember? Sky, Bozeman, Central Valley,
Missoula,
Rural, Billings,
Red Lodge.
And what was your opinion in looking at that? Where our current salary structure was? How were you guys feeling about that versus where we?
We were pretty low on that for the kind of talent that we want to maintain here, and we know that the talent is what makes this work. A technician doesn't make a system like this work. So we shot at the mid to high level of that and agreed as a panel that that was the appropriate offer.
Board discussion.
And I don't recall right off the top of my head, how does that compare with current, our current base for the chief?
Start was probably 10,000 more.
You mean what we're paying them right now?
Correct.
We were at 98,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And proposing to go to 115.
115.
Big Sky was at 140 something, 145.
And Bozeman was 120 to 130 something, 33, I think.
The other thing that I thought was pertinent in that discussion is we had not, and I've already told you guys this, had a compensation review since 2017, which is just as bad on me as chair. So we need to just get that in a more consistent, regular basis. And I think, you know, a subcommittee of the board can do that with the chief every year, whenever we'd like to. So we just need to set a date and not miss it. So maybe we put that back on you guys to bring that up. Okay, is there a motion?
Moved that the board accept the hiring, the interview panel's recommendation for salary and compensation.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any public comment on the motion? Okay.
So, question for the board. I'm happy to bring something to you guys next month's meeting, but now, you know, me accepting this position obviously vacates our assistant chief.
Let's finish this motion and then we can do that if you don't mind.
Yep.
So, Ken?
Easy.
Yes.
JJ?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, congratulations again, Ryan. We are really thrilled and looking forward to a bright future. So, hope all the volunteers out there are thrilled too. Who's that one dude hanging through something?
It's an action shot.
Action shot, yeah. All right.
I don't see any thumbs up on the screen.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, so we got a whole bunch of stuff coming up here. What I'm going to suggest we do,
should we maybe see if Brian wants to accept this position?
Don't break my heart, man.
I will agree. Gladly accept the position.
Here's what I was thinking about doing, trustees, is giving Brian a big chunk of time to talk about all these issues which are sort of separated on the agenda. Maybe just in the chief's report, we can talk about the hiring which he wanted to do, the capital improvement expenditures for Cottonwood. So my proposal is we deal with items 5 and 6 first, which are the preliminary budget and the request for audits. Does that make sense?
The only concern I would have is that discussion of the capital replacement, items 3 and 4
might
affect item 5.
Okay, can we get the audit done first then?
Sure.
Item 6.
Okay, so the RFP went out and was advertised in, it was sent out to the auditors that are certified to be able to do audits. There were 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 letters that went out to different accounting firms. We only received one back. I did reach out to a couple and said, you know, hey, the deadline's coming up, you know, are we going to see a proposal? And the information that I got back was, I probably jumped the gun by sending out the letters. It was during tax season and people mm-hmm. were swamped and unable to put together proposals. So do we want as a board to go out again for proposals for the audit?
Do you feel as though we would get more response given that we'd be outside the tax season?
I do, and it would give us, you know, options.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a good decision because we're still ahead of the curve enough if we do that. If it increases the number of respondents that we get to an RFP, I think that would be part of our due diligence to pursue that, given that we have enough time to meet an audit timeline.
Agree. I just got ahead of myself, and it was a lesson learned. Don't send out those letters during tax season.
Yeah, they get a little grouchy around that time of year. Yeah, this board member totally defers to Walt and Cheryl's judgment on this. So that's where we'd like to go.
Yeah, I think I agree, given what Cheryl said. The type of feedback she got, I think that would be a good idea.
Any board discussion?
Sounds fine to me.
Okay. Do we want to have a motion to do this, or just go ahead and do it?
I think it's already in there.
Okay.
It's in the works, isn't it?
All right, great. Okay, so we've got item 3, capital replacement expenditures, command vehicle chainsaws, et cetera, and then capital improvements for the Cottonwood Station.
And then I guess I would like, because it does affect the budget, in the preliminary budget, we do have some latitude in terms of, it doesn't have to be exact.
Yeah.
But I would suggest that maybe we include 3, 4, and 7 above the preliminary budget.
Okay, let's do that if everybody's in agreement. Okay, so I'm gonna turn it over to you, Brian, I believe. Okay. That's the most logical thing to do.
All right, so I'll start with just item number 3, the capital replacement expenditures. Those 3 items are kind of what I identified out of, and the board understand that if you look at our capital replacement plan, this is a small chunk of technically what's up this year. Obviously, we keep updating the plan every year. So anything that doesn't get replaced just goes to the next year and it keeps rolling over. When we sat down with Walt and we kind of went through the preliminary stuff, those are the 3 items that I kind of picked as kind of what's critical right now in that capital replacement plan. So just so everybody is understanding, that is what we've identified. That's not necessarily what's listed in the plan. I would recommend that we do take a look, maybe when we do final budget or something, but we do take a look at that plan again, just so everybody's in the understanding of what
it is. I think that's a really good idea.
Would be good. But like I said, those 3 items, command vehicle, our saws, and 1 set of extrication equipment is what I kind of identified as the critical items that this coming year we get replaced. I don't have any necessarily proposals right now. I'm just identifying those 3 items. What the, as far as the budget numbers in the capital replacement plan, should be fairly close to on par as far as what the cost will be, which I believe when we get to the preliminary budget, it's in the board packet of what we've identified those items as.
Let me just make sure I understand you correctly. We have the master plan, the capital replacement plan, which shows what we're going to try to do every year. We're trying to put money in that account so it's funded.
Yep.
Now, are these like sub-items that you're pulling out of this year's plan that you think absolutely have to be replaced? Will there be other things you want to replace in the year? Or
My plan for right now, for this year, it will just be these 3 items.
Just these
3? Yeah, so these are the 3 items that I'd like to get done in this year. Walt and I talked quite a bit about it, you know, when we were doing the preliminary. We have some pretty big ticket items coming up in the next couple of years. 2 of our engines are up for replacement, which is obviously a big expenditure. What I'd like to do is, you know, over the next couple of months, look at that plan and then see where we can kind of make room and spread things out a little bit to not take such big hits in some of those years. So yeah, those 3 items are just 3 of the items listed in this year's plan, and that's what I plan on going for this year. I don't see any or plan on anything coming up in the next year that I would ask for.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that we've learned is that we have our replacement plan based on expected lifespans, and I think, you know, over the years we've learned that staff's done pretty well with kind of extending those lifespans.
But we do, as Brian mentioned, we do have a couple of big ticket items that we will need to plan for, $600,000 engine type replacements. And so, and there are a couple of other things that I don't recall right off the top. I know that we had, the plan calls for a couple of big expenditures, and hopefully we can spread that out a little bit. But we should be able to work that into our capital replacement budgeting process.
So. And I would add that looking at that plan would be good, because there's some changes I feel we can make in there. When we agreed upon the new ambulance, technically it replaced the current ambulance, but we're going to keep the current ambulance as a backup. So our Jason and I's thought going forward with that is that would kind of replace one of our current utility vehicles. So there's some adjusting we could do in the plan. I think there's some work also we could do in the plan to save us a little bit of money and cut one vehicle out that we could probably not require replacing. Like currently we have two utilities vehicles listed along with a plow truck, and I think we can combine some of that together to make it a little easier to afford. So,
more board discussion, questions? So let's have, what's the best way to go about, Walt, do you think, talking about the capital placement? Should we just do it at the June meeting, or do you want to, what's your recommendation?
I think Brian, I'd like to sit down with Brian a little bit more and kind of go over that. And there are a couple of things, probably review that replacement plan and see if we can make some adjustments and see what's coming down the pipeline, what makes sense to plan for in the near term and intermediate term. And then also come back to the board with a proposal as to how much we should earmark for our capital replacement and improvement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And do that at the June meeting. I think we'd be prepared to do that.
Great. So,
but I think we can go, I guess I would agree with the chief's recommendation at this point that we include these items that he's specified at the estimated cost into, and I've done that in the spreadsheet, so that adjustment is currently in the spreadsheet for the board to look at.
And I see you've just got some notes there on the cost, so what are you estimating for the command vehicle chainsaws?
It's about, I think we have about $55,000 that we budgeted for the command vehicle, $30,000 for chainsaws, and $30,000 for extrication equipment.
What was that, 80?
Pardon me?
80?
No, 30. 55, 30, oh, 30.
So about $115,000 total.
Okay.
And we're looking at doing some savings there too. Again, with repurposing a utility vehicle to potentially our plow vehicle, one of our current commands that are due for replacement is the one I'd like to replace, and then repurpose that as an additional utility vehicle to again try to extend the lifespan of some of our vehicles.
And are you thinking for command vehicles, pickup trucks, Ford Expeditions, Suburbans, what do you?
Yep, I think going forward, what we've done in the past, we've done everything from a Suburban to a pickup truck, and it seems like the last command we did, Command 6-2, the pickup truck with a topper with a slide-out bed, has really been a successful and well-liked model. And it's a little safer, with the amount of gear we carry, that it's stored in the back of a truck rather than in the back of a Suburban. So I think going forward, that's kind of the direction we'll go.
So Walt, what are you looking for from the board here? Do we need a motion to approve these, or?
I think we can wrap it into the preliminary budget.
Okay.
So this would be background for that preliminary budget.
Okay. Let me just call for public comment on this item, and then we'll move on. Any public comment on agenda item 3? Okay, we want to go to Cottonwood Station next?
Yep. Okay, so you have a couple of different items in your board packet, and understand I didn't try to send this out and give anybody a heart attack, but just different, identifying some different options. So our capital improvement items all kind of revolve around Cottonwood Station, transitioning that to a resident facility, and then doing the walkthrough with JJ, Justin, Walt, and Ken. was very helpful in kind of outlining some of these items. So I guess I'll just kind of go through it item by item. We'll start with the shed or the storage shed. So as I identified last month in the Cottonwood resident proposal, we need some storage for the residents there in their outdoor gear. So that's not creating clutter within the station. So working with the recommendation, we went to Big Sky Shed and got some numbers and kind of looked at different options and really identified two of the best, I think. Kind of doing measurements based off of the room we allow here at Sourdough for the residents and then at Ray. The four people at Cottonwood, I think, shooting for like a one car garage size was appropriate for what the storage needs are. So if you look in the two, there's two from the Montana Shed Center. There's a high side and then a high side garage. And I included both just to give a couple options. I think for us, for what we're gonna use it as, going with the high side garage would be a better option. They're a little built a little more heavy duty with a little bit heavy duty lumber and have some better options that they have a man door, roll up door to access more of a garage type building. And again, going for the size, I figured a 14 by 24 should allow and meet our needs for what we're looking at for that. So what I would like to propose to the board is we go with the high side garage, the 14 by 24, and you can see the cash price there would be the $11,896 for that one.
I'm just sort of curious, since I missed that walkthrough, what you guys thought of the station. We had talked about, you know, new stoves and all that kind of stuff, and I know that's your recommendation, but how did board members, what was your reaction to being over there and seeing it?
That there's little stuff to do. The damn shed is going to be the most expensive thing there. The rest of it is fairly low cost. Should have been on the replacement menu anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you've got some further discussion on some of those items that were identified.
Yep, that's further in. Yeah.
So I think, I think we did identify some of these items, and I think Brian's got.
But just in general, what did you think about?
I think in general, if we've got a good station. It does need a couple of things to that need to be replaced, and I think there's. Brian, I think, is going to talk about some asphalt proposals a little bit of capital. But I don't think there's any substantial capital improvement that's required at this juncture. That was my take on it at this juncture.
Yeah.
I think we've got something that's very, very functional for the purposes of meeting that proposal.
Great.
That Brian
just needs cleaned up, little small things.
Yeah. Right.
So.
Anything?
No.
Okay, so you want to have a decision on the shed?
What would you like to, approve item by item, or I can go through all three and you can make a motion on what you think we'd like to do for, I guess I'd leave it up to the board to say.
I guess I would suggest maybe present all three.
Sure.
And then if the board's uncomfortable with moving on all three, then perhaps we break it up. If the board's comfortable in our discussion, I don't see any reason why we couldn't wrap it into one motion.
And so you guys know while we're going through these, and correct me if I might get this wrong, we currently are sitting with just over $200,000 in our capital improvement.
That's correct.
And we're contributing $40,000 a year.
Yeah, and we can adjust. If need be, we can adjust that a little bit.
Okay, so that's the storage shed. Next one I'll move to is the lighting. So we got an estimate done by On Point Electrical to replace. That was something that when we walked through with the board members, we kind of identified that the lighting is pretty poor in all the bedrooms. So we have a bid to replace those with some good LED light fixtures. And again, I just did one quote on this. It's for the same electrical company that put the new lights in the old bay, so it should be a good product. But that is the lighting. Again, that one's not a huge ticket item and kind of one of those items that was identified.
So did he give you kind of a summary, a total, a rough, an idea, or not to exceed by, or, I see he itemized.
685.
Oh, 685.
Okay, I'm missing that. Oh, there it is. Okay.
The evils of back-to-front printing, mm-hmm. two-sided printing.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that, again, those are reasonable upgrades based, yeah, the lighting was a little bit weak. Yeah.
For sure. I mean, it's this board member's opinion that for stuff like that, it's just not even a board decision. Like, if you need to fix a light,
yeah,
the freaking lights.
Yeah. Yeah. So we also identified the floor, the concrete floor and the main floor of the station. And it was a good item. It wasn't necessarily something I was thinking, but JJ and Justin and really everybody identified. And that floor has not been touched since that station was built. So it's still the same finish that was on.
So this is in the bay, so in that interior, in the interior bay, the concrete floor, or the
not the bay, just the kitchen, yeah, main floor area. And it does. I mean, even the guys, you know, part of their cleaning schedule right now is to sweep and mop. And even after they do that, I mean, that floor is such in poor shape. I mean, it's hard to tell it's actually clean when they do that because of the condition of the floor. So we had KO Concrete Coatings come out, give us a quote, and kind of explain to us their proposal. And it kind of is broken down in that sheet. So they would do any repair work. There's some cracking and some poor patchwork over what looked like was a proposed drain and that kind of stuff that got covered up. So they do all the repair work that's needed. And then do a light grind to the floor and then refinish it with an epoxy coating that is good for, my big concerns was high traffic, the amount of use it gets, and then the durability of it. And this product comes with a 5-year warranty and it's rated very high for high trafficking. The KO Concrete, they like working with fire stations, so they gave us a little bit of a break for what they would charge a typical customer, but they unfortunately didn't list that. But that one would come to $4,100, and that would be the whole kind of underneath the dining room table where it is, the small office area, the kitchen, the one bedroom that's downstairs, the bathroom downstairs, and then the bathroom upstairs currently doesn't. It's just a raw concrete finish, so they would do that one as well. And I think it would bring one, the floor up to a little better shape and just give it a lot better look of the station to have it refinished.
Is this like the gray stuff with the flak or what's?
Yeah. So it'd be like a light gray coating with, yeah, kind of an aggregate and flak finish on it.
And traction, were there any discussions about traction on it with wet?
Yep, and from what I got from when they proposed it, it's going to be better than what we currently have, is that kind of polished concrete finish we have right now. That epoxy coating will give it a little more grip to it.
Mm-hmm. And you said it does include down in the downstairs? So the main floor and the basement, or just the main
floor? This is just the main floor and the upstairs.
Upstairs.
Bathroom, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't have a quote the basement.
Yeah, I don't know for me.
Okay, so one more item after that one, which is the asphalt. So this is a project we've actually talked about for quite a while. And if you look at the Apex asphalt quote, again, we had it done in two different proposals in a way. In the past, we've talked about paving the kind of the drive loop going around the fire station. We had them include a second item to do the whole back area that's been talked about in the past. Obviously, there's pretty big price difference between the two. It's a lot bigger area to do the whole thing. At a minimum, doing the loop would greatly help with being able to keep the station clean, especially this time of year, going to spring, going into early summer. You know, the truck, we put a polder bay at the station for safety. So when the truck comes back and has to drive that gravel driveway and back, it just brings all that dirt into the fire station, and it really makes it hard to keep the station clean. So the bid they gave us for just to do what they have identified as Area 1, which is essentially the loop and the small gravel parking area in front, is $28,900. And then to do the entire area would be an additional $64,000. So if we did it all, we'd be looking at $93,800.
So, and that's doing the front and the loop.
Right. Right?
That's nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On that front area, though. Mm-hmm.
And we could give it a lot better curb appeal. I mean, with that we could do some striping for parking spots and actually make it look like a little more official use of a building. And that one, I mean, I would kind of, you know, defer to the board, you know, what you guys want to approve. Obviously, that's a pretty big chunk of money to do that entire thing. Like I said, if we did the loop, that would solve a lot of our problems. Doing the whole area, you know, at some point, if we decide to do that, I mean, it would help on snow cleanup and some drainage issues that happen in the early spring, and make it, you know, a little easier for training at times. But doing the loop is the big item on that one.
Well, given that we've got some big tick items coming up in 22 and 23, how are you thinking about this? Just go for the red zone and maybe forego the green?
I guess that would be I would lean towards that. You know, I think that solves the vast preponderance of our issues, operational issues, it sounds like. Vehicles coming around that loop and bringing dirt into the bays, and then having that parking, the small parking lot in front of the building on the west side of the building, having that paved, I think would be...
Paved and striped up.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I mean, it seems that's going to solve the vast preponderance of our operational issues.
It would.
And I think that's the piece of the elephant we should bite mm-hmm. off right now. And I don't know, when they squared that off, is there any reason, you know, any adjustments in terms of right in front of the training station, you know, if they were to change that a little bit at all, would that address any increment that would be reasonable relative to increase in size, or would it make that much difference?
I don't know that it would. I mean, obviously, right, those are where we park our trucks and kind of do our hose packing for training. So, I mean, it would help in those areas, but like if we could just at least get the loop done, that would solve a lot of our problems.
I think maybe that, I guess I would suggest that's the piece of the elephant we should bite off right now.
Other board member comments, thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just wondering the same kind of thing is, you know, whether, you know, making this square over where, you know, a ton of people park, or going this way, because, you know, all the trucks pull up right there when they're doing their, you know, tactics and stuff, whether or not, you know, not doing the full thing, but, you know, whether or not there's a little more that you want to do on that, or, you know, I don't know how much money we have, but, you know.
That's what I'm going on it as, like, to see. I'd do everything except the asphalt, and then look at the asphalt when we get a chance to see what those numbers look like. Mm-hmm. We may do 30, we may do 50, we may do 90, but without knowing the numbers, I'm not sure I want to play with that.
Well, we do have, I think as Brian mentioned, we do have roughly, we do right around 200,000 in our capital improvement.
And if you guys are curious, Cheryl just did the addition of, I mean, if we did everything, I mean, we'd be looking at $110,000, $110,481.
Where is that? So you mean all three if items, not an increase in paving? What is that calculation you just did?
I think that would be all of the paving.
All of the paving.
And the shed, the lights, and the floor coat. Okay.
So without the main, like the entire back area paved, it'd be 46,481 to do the loop.
So just to be clear, Justin and JJ, you're talking about, would you like to see a price estimate to like run this out to here? Is that what you're talking about? Or
I don't know what's more beneficial to you. I'm just saying, you know, whether or not this square comes off where a ton of people park, or, you know, if you have all your trucks lined up here when you're doing your hose lays, is that going to make the hoses last longer, not running through the dirt every day or whatever? Or
I don't know that if it would gain us a great deal.
If there's dirt anywhere in that training lot, you will find it.
Yeah.
It's kind of the point. I wouldn't counsel touching that training area unless you're going to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that you'd gain much.
Yeah.
So you like the red paving?
Whatever. I like it all paved.
Yeah, right, of course.
Yeah, but I think certainly for every day, all the time,
yeah, area one.
Red is...
Red gets us the biggest bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess the other thing to bear in mind, too, as we think about future expenditures is the likelihood that we're going to be in the near term looking at another station on Gooch Hill and some of the preliminary work. I mean, it'd be nice to have some money squirreled away in our capital improvement account to address, you know, engineering conception planning. Exactly. Yeah, some architectural conception plans or that sort of thing, so that we can, you know, have discussions with the public as to the need.
More board discussion? So my general sense of what the board is thinking is we approve the shed, the lighting, the big shed, the lighting, and then paving area one. Is that the general sense I'm hearing?
Would you want the floor included?
The concrete floor. Sorry.
So that works out. Cheryl, did you already do that? Or?
Well,
six.
You've got the calculator, so.
Oh, I didn't know whether you already had that figured out.
I have $46,481.
What's this picture of Cotton Station included for?
The guy just took the guy.
Okay,
all right.
I thought it was
$46,481.
Yeah.
Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're looking at. Is there
board discussion?
Yeah.
3-inch base on the for the asphalt. I don't know what the trucks weigh. I don't know what 3 inches. I mean,
well, 3 inches is a standard. I don't know if there's any need to go. That
there
is a standard.
Because those are exceptionally heavy, and I don't remember what it has. It's a spec for those.
From when the guy came out and looked at it, and I mean, Colin's on here. I'll let him speak to it also. We identified the weight of our trucks, and that was his kind of recommendation. And again, it comes with their warranty. But I mean, that was one of my concerns as well, is that obviously our truck's driving and turning on it, that it's going to be able to take the weight. Colin, do you have anything to add?
No, I don't have anything to add. I did talk to the guy who looked at the paving that has already been done at the station, which is 3-inch normal base. The only recommendation he said is just for that first year, it's going to be pretty tender. And obviously, just keeping the trucks not moving and spinning your wheels and all that kind of stuff. He pretty much said that it should hold up really well, and the 3 inches should be adequate for the trucks that we have.
Okay. So they're warranting it. It's their product that we told them what it's going to do. So.
Don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That's a good question. Yeah.
I guess I deal with it at work where we sink stuff in the asphalt, but we're not talking fire trucks. We're talking other packages that weigh more, and we don't have big tires on them. We have little tires.
Yeah.
And so we have issues. So I don't know what 3 inches of asphalt does. I really don't.
So we got a warranty on it. So if we bust it, they'll fix it.
Yep. And it comes with a two-year
warranty. So. Any more board discussion?
I mean, if you guys, I'd be happy to talk more with them if it may give you guys some comfort about, you know, doing it deeper or, you know, doing additional.
You'd like to think we're special, but we're not. It doesn't get Phoenix hot here, so I'm sure that factors into their equation. And if 3 inches, if Colin's saying 3 inches sounds right.
Well, we could do this. We could have a motion to approve the expenditures and whatever the amount was, $46,481, mm-hmm. and just ask Brian to loop back around one more time to the concrete, to the asphalt guys.
Sure.
And then you can make the call if you're happy with what you hear.
Yeah.
How's that sound, everybody?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So moved.
Cheryl, did you get a motion or do you need a real motion?
I will get it off the tape.
Is there
JJ.
Any
move to approve $46,481 in expenditures for the concrete, finishing the light fixtures, the shed, and item area number one of the paving.
Second. Any public comment on the motion? Okay, Cheryl.
Ken?
Yes.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, do we want to do 7 before we do the preliminary budget?
Probably makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So in your board packet, you'll see my proposal for a new full-time training captain position. I hope you guys had a chance to look this over, but kind of go over the basics of it. So what I'm proposing is hiring another full-time position at our captain level, and it would be a training captain position. And that position would really take on the brunt of our recruitment effort of volunteers, along with our recruit training of volunteers. And not only that, but then continue on to really help work with all of our volunteers on training needs. Currently, kind of as it stands, driver operator training is done outside of our Wednesday regular training. That has to be done kind of on their own time. And the sourdough residents have done a great job of providing their leadership and coaching on that. The unfortunate part with that is it really limits our training availability for driver operator training on weekends when those guys are on shift. So I'd like this training captain position to be able to offer up a little more opportunity for that, on top of the recruitment and the recruit training duties. The other kind of hopefully item I'm gonna take care of with this is to really double up our staffing of our paid employees during the weekdays. So kind of as it currently stands, well, I'll say back a couple of months, is I was working from Sunday through Wednesday. Jason was working roughly Tuesday to Friday, and then Chris was working Wednesday to Saturday, which is good because that gave us good oversight 7 days a week for operations of the fire department. And obviously the paid employees provide our incident command coverage weekdays during the day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And we just, with volunteers, that's just not, we're not able to cover that with volunteer staffing. And that incident command position, so we have that position on 24 hours a day, and that person has got the sole responsibility of the operations of the fire department. So when a call comes out for the fire department, that person acknowledges it with dispatch and organizes the response of the fire department and then the on-scene operations. So it is 100% critical in our department, the way our operations run, that we have that position. Kind of the weak link that has been with our current level of staffing is, and I can personally speak to this because I was on my own, you know, Sunday through Tuesday most weeks. You know, given that it doesn't really allow to take a sick day, or, you know, taking vacation is very difficult because I would have to beg and plead for volunteer coverage so I could take vacation days. And, you know, not to get completely wishy-washy, but I did, you know, a lot of calls with myself being sick in the command or having a sick kid in the back seat because, again, I couldn't. That position is so important, you can't take it off, type of a thing, where if we could double up, it would allow for, you know, any of those positions to be absent, and our operation would continue without a hitch. So that's the duties kind of I see of this position. To kind of give you guys a little bit of a public explanation of the background. So, I mean, recruit training has kind of changed with this department throughout its existence. For the past roughly 8 years, Jason really did a good job of identifying, you know, the need for an academy and the need for it to be separate from our regular training. And the recruits currently do train with our regular training, but they also train on Saturday for a full day. And it's really expedited the process for getting them properly trained and ready to respond to calls with us. We started roughly 8 years ago when we started out that plan. We just had volunteer captains kind of running it, and it was a different person each weekend, and really identified some issues with that of kind of continuing the operation, and what one person continues to the next, and it was really ugly during that time. So we kind of adjusted things a little bit, and Chris, who is obviously our maintenance captain, took on that responsibility as he was working on Saturdays. And really, Chris did just an outstanding job with it. I mean, the way he refined the academy and got the volunteers through it, it was very good. But that obviously, in turn, had huge negative effects on our maintenance program. Which kind of brought along the need for the maintenance technician, which was a part-time position, to kind of help out. As you guys all know, Chris is retiring, so he will, I believe his last day is May 29th, will be his last day as a paid employee with the department. So that obviously leaves a hole in our recruit training. And currently, I think we can do a lot better job, and Jason identified this also, of recruitment itself. You know, when applications are turned in or somebody, you know, calls with interest, you know, Cheryl will do the best she can to kind of direct that person where they need to go. But it would really be good just to have one person who is solely responsible for that, and all those people get directed to that position. And then obviously the whole process of interviewing and bringing those people on and then running them through the recruit academy is going to be a hole with Chris retiring. We've obviously brought Colin on as our new maintenance captain to fill Chris's position. That was done obviously before Jason left. But we have identified, to really improve the maintenance program, that Colin needs to focus wholly on 100% on maintenance, and he will still do regular training, that kind of stuff, but I would estimate, you know, Chris in this spring last academy, he was probably doing 60% recruit training, 40% maintenance, and to his degree doing a good job with it, but struggling to balance both of them. So going forward, again, we're obviously doing two academies a year in the spring and fall, and we've come to know that it is hugely critical, using college students and their limited time here, that we run those two academies a year to keep people coming in. So coming up to the fall, we're hitting kind of a critical point to have somebody in line to run this. And again, we want Colin focused on maintenance, and that's where really a big piece of this position is going to come into play to take that on. So you can kind of see in my proposal there the goals. So Jason and I always thought we could do a better job of reaching out in MSU. Obviously, we do Catapalooza and we do our booth. But we think there's more opportunity to get involved with some clubs, you know, plug into HOAs even in our district to kind of say, yeah, we're using college students, but the opportunity to volunteer is still here. And, you know, anybody living in the district should still consider volunteering if they have the time to do it. So really researching and seeking out those potential volunteers, you know, some consistency in our recruitment effort. And again, everything that I just kind of explained, collect the applications, talk with those people, interview them, get them on board, and then run the academies, and then really be a support chain, you know, that first year they're on the department with making sure they're successful. So looking at the cost item of my proposal, so I'm proposing that we don't refill the maintenance technician, the part-time position, that we do away with that position. That was a position Colin had been filling. He's accepted the maintenance captain position, so technically that part-time position is vacant right now, and my recommendation is we don't refill that, that we let that go. So roughly, these are obviously rough estimates. I'd like to, you know, work with Walt. I'm comfortable, and obviously I'd like to hear Walt's opinion that we have the room in the budget to add this position in. Obviously we'd be saving the money of not filling the part-time position. But I would recommend that this position be hired kind of at our captain level. So currently Colin was hired at the $68,000 salary. When you include benefits in that, I would estimate that this new position is going to cost us about $100,000 a year. Now, one thing I would certainly ask the board to consider, you know, with everything going on in the positions in the department, that this position, which if, when I get into my recruitment plan, is going to be an external hire. Currently, we don't have anybody interested to take on a full-time position with the fire department, so we'll have to bring somebody in. You know, looking at those numbers Cheryl pulled for comparisons, I have some pretty big concerns about bringing somebody on and being able to offer them something that they'll be able to be comfortable with in the Gallatin Valley today. Again, we're, as you guys, you know, identified with the chief position, we're pretty far under, you know, the pay rate of captains currently in our area. And I'd like to see what we can do to improve that just overall. But my recruitment plan would be advertise this position for 3 weeks, do the same really that we did for the fire chief in the Chronicle. I'd also like to put it in the latest, which is the online newsletter for the State Fire School, that's pretty widely put out there. Now, as the fire chief, I'll make a selection committee. I think it'd be good if one board member would like to participate in that. I think that'd be good. We'll go through, collect our applicants. We'll set up some interviews with them. Well, the selection committee, I'll propose a scoring sheet that we'll use to do the interview with. Once we find the candidate we like, we'll do our typical background check and reference check of that person. If everything's looking good, we'll do a conditional job offer letter with salary, benefit package, conditions of employment, and the start date. And then obviously, as standard, it's in our employee manual that they'll be under a 12-month probationary period.
Board discussion.
That is my proposal.
Very good proposal, by the way. Thank you for putting that together. Board discussion.
What's the net difference?
From current?
Well, you to not have the part-time position and...
Well... I tried to ask Jason for some clarification in our budget, and it was pretty rough. But I don't know, and Walt, you can correct me, like our current personnel item, I was trying to see if there that was broken out, you know, per position or anything like that, and Jason didn't seem to really know.
Yeah, we do have that data. I don't have it right on the top of my head.
Okay.
But we do have the data for that. And so I guess what we're looking at, I mean, in from a big 30,000 foot level here, we're looking at basically going from 1.5 FTEs to 2 FTEs, essentially, at those salary ranges with adjustments in salary to be commensurate with what the kind of going rate is in the valley. That's kind of what we're looking at in a nutshell, right? So
correct.
We would be looking at, you know, I don't know what percentage wise, but that what that would do to our personnel budget, but it would be an increase in our personnel services.
It should be about 50 or 60K, shouldn't it?
That's an increase.
It increases.
Yeah, we'd have to.
It's somewhere in that.
Yeah, that'd be. Yeah, that maybe. We'd have to add. Yeah, we'd have to add. Because right now, so what you're saying that the training captain, the 100, what you're saying is that 100K, the 68 base, plus benefits, the 100K total expenditure, is not sufficient in today's market. Is that I guess?
Well,
that's your feeling.
That's my feeling. Yeah, I mean, if you compare it to, you know, a captain level, and I don't know that you can even compare it to a captain level at the city, because these duties are way more on top of what a captain does at the city. I mean, if you look at Cheryl, like, the city has a maintenance position listed out, but you have to understand that position, that salary is on top of another salary, so it's a captain doing their maintenance, and they get an additional stipend for what they're doing.
So when I was doing the wage comparison, the captain, when I asked for what captain wages were, Billings was 69 to 83, Missoula was 77.5, Big Sky was 84.5, Red Lodge was 77, so we're under pretty much for that.
Seems to me we got to be on Red Lodge level.
Sure. Yeah, and but just to give you, I guess I don't know if you want to transition at this point. We probably, so what you're thinking is that we come up with some numbers for the June meeting then, is that what you're?
Yeah, and then, when we
so
go into the
specific numbers.
Let's do this maybe before we do that. Let's have some board conversation about the position in general. Is there anybody who disagrees with the need to hire the position? Let's start with that proposition.
Well, I concur with the model that we need to consider having those two FTEs, one for each of those.
I do too. So what I would like to do is to let Brian start to advertise compensation to be commensurate with experience is perfectly fine.
Okay.
And then we can talk... or you can talk as to what we want to set that salary at or authorize Brian to do.
I guess. I don't know, do we want to have board action on that? You know, I'm just trying to do some back of the envelope.
Well, we could have board action in June.
Right, that's what I was wondering. Do you want to have board action in June to make it? I think what we can do, we can probably, we're pretty close on our preliminary budget, and we can go over that here in a minute.
Yeah.
And if we had, you know, a reasonable increase in our personnel services, you know, I think the budget, obviously there's a trade-off as to what we put in capital replacement, but we do, you know, we need to address everything, operations and capital and replacement. So I think we do have room to have that discussion for sure.
So my feeling would be to let Brian know the board supports the position. He can go ahead and advertise it, and we will come up with a compensation number that we can present in June for board approval.
I think,
question?
So, or am I making this too complicated?
Dave?
Describe to me, if the primary responsibility of the career staff, and I'm saying this very broadly, is to take care of the volunteers and make sure the lights are on and all that sort of stuff. So describe for me the role of the A chief. that if you're going to bring a full-time training captain in, what are they doing?
Yeah, so I can tell you from the experience of what I'm doing currently as the assistant chief is really overseeing the entire department's training program. This training captain, I want more to focus on recruit academy, so bringing in new firefighters and getting them out on the street. Where the assistant chief's big kind of picture item is going to be department training from the top to the bottom. And that's running every Wednesday night training.
Procedures and tactics and standards and best practices and all that kind of stuff.
And I would like to see, you know, certainly us moving forward with our ambulance transport, mm-hmm. and I'd like to assign a big chunk of the duties of that program to the assistant fire chief coming in.
Good answer.
So I guess when I look at this, you know, just kind of ball, right now we have 366,000 in personnel services, so that's base and benefits. And so if we were to kind of just do some ballpark numbers, if we're going north of 100,
300 to you, 60.
If we go north of 100 on captain and maintenance, or training captain, maintenance captain, and then I'm sure, obviously, the chief, assistant chief is going to be north of 100, or north of 100 with the chief, and then we've got an administrative assistant. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we could be looking at, you know, I think more than 50%. I mean, more than 50K increase, but yeah. we could be looking at, you know, by the time you add all that up with the benefits, we could be looking at in the low 400s pretty easily. I mean, we could be looking at adding, this is obviously very back of the envelope, so I mean, we got to be careful with the numbers, but I mean, if we're talking about north of 100 for training captain, maintenance captain, and then what we currently propose for or approve for chief, and then what's likely to occur for assistant chief would be somewhere in between the captain and chief, obviously, and then compensating our administrative assistant. I would suggest that we'd look at compensation adjustments there too. So we could potentially be looking at, you know, just ballparking it, you know, an $80,000 increase here, you know, 70, 80.
And Walty's at 36, I thought we had like a 450.
366 is our current personnel services budget line item.
Okay.
And then there, well, the on behalf, let me back up a little bit. The on behalf part, we broke that out. On behalf is a budget neutral occurrence, and that's related to, you know, the retirement stuff.
Right.
And so that the accountants want us to have that in there as an income item and an expense item, but it's, in essence, it's a budget neutral thing from our budgeting standpoint. So from with regard to our tax revenue and the expenditures associated with tax revenue, it's the 366.
Yeah,
and then the 86 on behalf payment.
So I guess the question for the board is, do we try to nail down these salaries at tonight's meeting, or do we give ourselves some time to try to do it in June?
I guess, and I don't know, I think, I don't know that we can nail them down right now, but we could make it, and we don't have to be spot on our preliminary budget either.
Right.
We have to be a little bit closer at final budget time, which is August. So I guess I would suggest that we could make an adjustment, a small adjustment in personnel services now, and with the notion of fine-tuning it, say making it 400,000. Because I suspect we're going to go above that.
Yep. What I would like to do is to let Brian go ahead with these searches.
So we get the ball rolling.
So we get the ball rolling. And not have to have the salaries screwed down before that.
Right.
I would appreciate that.
And I think that's a reasonable approach, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So then we can have more board discussion. But my motion would be to approve, what would we be approving then, Brian? A motion to approve you to go ahead with the search for the training captain and the assistant chief?
Approve the positions.
Approve the positions. Right.
Okay. Well, the assistant chief position's already approved, right?
Right.
We're just approving the new...
The training
captain. The training captain position.
Okay.
And recognizing the fact that the halftime maintenance position will disappear.
Right.
So going forward, talking about wanting to do a yearly salary review on everybody, do we want to put that down for when we're going to do a yearly review? And because if we have current people, we've, you know, fixed that position, do we want to fix all of our positions?
I think what we want to avoid doing, because right now what we're doing is we're paying for 5 years of non-adjusting salaries.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a big bite. I mean, if we had done incremental adjustments since 2017,
right,
we wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. So I think that we need a date certain, and it's either January 1st, or I don't know what the heck the date is.
I think end of the June would be a good time to do it, I think, because then you're moving into salary adjustments into the new fiscal year.
Right. So that's what we should do. June should just be a standing agenda item.
Okay.
And
So before next meeting, do we want to have a review of everybody's positions?
So that's what I was thinking. Before the June meeting, you and Brian get together and do exactly that.
Yeah. Okay.
And then in June, we could have an item if we wanted to approve those, or they just get rolled into the budget, final budget approval process, which, like you said, doesn't happen until August anyway.
I think we address it in June with the acknowledgement that we have to include it in the final budget.
But, okay.
So I guess to address this specific agenda item, I would move that we provide authority to the chief to pursue a training captain position with the acknowledgement that the halftime maintenance captain position will come off the books for Highlight Fire.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any public comment on the motion? Cheryl?
Ken?
Yes.
JJ?
Yes.
Walt?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. All right. Thank you guys for hanging in there with a little bit of a tricky agenda. Okay, Walt, you want to do budget now?
Sure.
Item 5?
And I think everything's pretty straightforward. If you look at, if you look at the spreadsheet that's included in the packet, and there's also the county form is included in the packet. But if you look at the spreadsheet and you look at our FY21 budget and actual year to date, and this is, I didn't get a chance, I've been gone for several weeks here, so this is 67% of the way through the fiscal year. But looking at the numbers here just quickly, we're going to definitely beat our operating budget. And we're pretty much spot on, a little bit below what we had projected for capital outlay. And so this is consistent with a track record that's been developed over the years, in the sense that we've typically beat our budget. So we've tried to allow a little bit of room in the budget with the acknowledgement that we go over on a few line items, but go under on a few line items in net, end up being under the budget. So with that being said, if we look at an estimate for fiscal 22, we sat down and kind of adjusted those numbers. On the revenue side, we left all of the revenue line items at the same levels that they were for fiscal year 21. So we did not make any adjustments, increases in tax revenues and so on. And given the growth, we're likely to see some increases there, but we left that par with last year's revenue. We, on the expense side, we did make some adjustments. We moved some monies around. If you look at professional subscription dues, we moved some money into that item, and community outreach, we moved some money out of that item. And so you can see there are a couple of other line items that we did that to. And the bottom line was a reduction in operating expenses of $2,000 after we shifted some things around. And so, that being said, if we go back up to personnel services, as our last discussion noted, we're likely to increase that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just, like I said, doing some back of the envelope, and we'll see what kind of numbers we come up with. But personnel services, not including on-behalf payments, I'm thinking we're probably going to be in the low 400s. We're going to be adding 70, 80,000 to where we're at now once everything's said and done. So, but again, I don't know for our preliminary budget that we need to address that right now.
It looks like we're still going to come in that box. You've got bolded operations over under well to the good side of that.
Right, and so that doesn't include our our capital. So, and then what I did is I think we can, before we send it to the county, we already approved the, I'm going to say 46,000 for those improvement items. Mm-hmm. And the lights really are a repair type of thing. So, you know, the accounts are probably going to place that into repair, you know, $700 into repair replacement kind of thing. The floor coating shed and asphalt are obviously capital improvement type of activities. And they may even view the floor coating as a repair thing too. We'll see what they, but I'm just adding 46K to our capital outlay for the year, and we'll make that adjustment on the sheet. And I guess we could even do that this evening before the board signs off on it.
Mm-hmm. And then down here where you have need to determine capital reserve allocations, are we gonna try to do that tonight?
You know, I guess I would suggest that we probably address that at the June meeting.
Okay.
And we, but I think we can probably look, given our cash reserves and where this budget will come in, even if we add to personnel services, we should be able to put, probably around 400,000 or something, somewhere in that neighborhood, into our various, pretty easily into our,
right,
and still leave plenty of room for maintaining cash flow actually above any stress levels.
So you'll just have a recommendation for us in June?
In June,
as to which goes into which fund. That sounds good.
Right, so
perfect.
So I think the main change then for preliminary budget purposes would be the addition of the 46,000 to the capital outlay.
Mm-hmm. Board discussion. Any public comment?
So for the items you guys approved for capital improvement, do you want me to wait till after July 1st to move forward with those, or can I just go
for it? Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Do we need a motion to approve the preliminary budget? Probably. I'll
make a motion. Sure. I'll make a motion to approve the preliminary budget.
For a second.
Second.
Any public comment on the motion? Cheryl.
Ken.
Yes.
JJ.
Yes.
Walt.
Yes.
Justin.
Yes.
Pete.
Yes. Cheryl, I got some stuff to sign here.
You do. And then Walt,
all the trustees got to sign this. And there's a big box that says for fiscal year, we request number of mills, dollar amount.
You max go. Mills. I X'd the max mills.
Oh, max mills. Got it. Okay. All right. I'll pass this around then.
And Walt, I will change on the capital expenditures, the 46,000 items.
Or, yes.
And then we'll, from the 115, add the 46.
Correct.
And change.
I just call it, I think 46, because the lights truly will be, you know, that's really a repair thing.
And then 400,000 into the capital reserve.
Well, do we want to do that now or wait till June to actually?
Well, I think we could put a chunk.
And oh, we could do that for the preliminary. I see, for June. The county, the preliminary. We could spread it out in June.
Yeah
sure. We can do that. 400,000 into capital, future capital. Yep.
I think that's.
But again, we have to fill, once we get the numbers, you know, the county.
It'll all change.
Right. It changes with the way they do their calculation. I mean, their notion of getting that sheet to balance out in our notion of capital, future capital, is a little different calculation.
Definitely. But I think
draw more signatures?
400,000 is a very comfortable number.
Right.
And say, so, you know, we're not shorting ourselves anywhere.
Right. It leaves us plenty of room. Yep.
Okay. Fire chief's report.
Okay. So here's some. There it is. So we are up in call volume. We ended April at 233 calls, and that's roughly 50 to 60 ahead of where we were the previous year. And typically, the spring is our slower time, and we get busier going into summer into fall. So we'll see what happens.
Get ready for the summer.
Exactly. Yep. Residence stations, like I mentioned, are staffed up. The guys that are moved into Cottonwood had some responses out of there already. I know the guys reported back to me, one of the neighbors came by and just said thank you, and they were happy to see that cars were in the parking lot again and the lights were turned on, that kind of stuff. So
nice.
Things are looking good there. The Spring Academy for recruits just wrapped up. All six are done with the initial training and out on the street now, running calls. I started a project with the Mystic Heights HOA on just a wildfire risk to their area. So I had a meeting kind of with their HOA board and gonna continue on doing some site visits and making some recommendations to them of how can they can protect themselves urban interface wise. Ran another, at the end of April we ran a structure fire off of Leverage Road. Again, great response. The guys did a great job keeping it room and contact. Helped out Amsterdam with a bigger fire on May 8th. And then it didn't get into my report, but just a couple days ago, as I emailed you guys, we did another one just on South 19th. And again, just excellent response on scene in 4 minutes from the dispatch. Wow. So things are looking good. On top of that, just a couple items I didn't include. We're still working on sound panels for the ceiling in here. It's just a lot going on.
Thank you. It is so hard to hear, especially with your sort of intonation. It's difficult.
And then I was going to mention here, but again, we'll move forward with the posting of an assistant fire chief based off the current job description and what you guys already mentioned. Other than that, we haven't had any injuries or breakdowns.
The assistant fire chiefs, since we're going to be rolling into an ambulance service, is a paramedic going to be part of the qualification, do you think? Or can we get...
I think a paramedic would be beneficial. Yeah. I don't know that we need to make it a requirement because we are just looking at a BLS service. I think any, not only just a paramedic, but somebody who's got experience with ambulance transporting, yeah, is going to be beneficial. I mean, it's been years, but I worked in that area for years prior, but somebody who can come in and really know and understand that business also is going to be a big help.
Board discussion questions to the chief. Any public comment on the chief's report? Thank you, chief. Trustee activities. Everybody's active. Okay, announcements. Any trustee announcements? June meeting at Cottonwood. Let's take a look at that. Third Tuesday is the 15th. How's that work for everybody?
I think that should work for me.
Okay, anything anybody else has?
Wildland Barbecue.
Wildland Barbecue. I'm not going to be here, but I'm sure it'll be a good barbecue. Let's hope the Wildland's not barbecuing by then.
Let's hope so by then.
Yeah. Okay, meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Congratulations.
Yes. Actually, no, the reason that happened
is, and Cheryl, you can help me with this one too, on the station debt. Okay, that's a function of the fact that we paid off the bond. And since we paid off, and that's why if you look at the financial statement, there's a big, things are really out of whack on the finance, because we paid off the old, or what was remaining of the bonds. So now with these new bonds, this is the amount of money that's on the new bond, and we haven't made any payments on the new bonds yet.
Gotcha.
That's why. So it doesn't reflect the whole history. Yes. It's basically what it boils down to. So the previous years aren't included.
Okay, so we just live with that.
Yeah, unless we want to have her change, you know, to have it to be a full history.
And probably. I may be able to get it.
That's helpful.
Whoever bought these things, I won't.
Oh, you do.
I just looked at it. I was like, holy cow, that can't be right. But of course, it's a bond refinance. And this is an amount that we have to pay off, right?
The remaining.
Cool. But yeah. That was Brian's.
And then there was payments made today. There was no blue at all because we haven't paid.
Twice a week.
Exactly. So yeah.
Wednesday are the biggest circulation days.
Have you guys grabbed the new cookies?
Like she said, it goes out on national kind of searches.
What happened? What's the name of the cookie place?
I'm sorry?
What's the name of this place?
Crumble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Crumble.
Okay. And then. Do you want me to
go
further into the weeds on these numbers?
Interesting. For
posting?
So well, not for posting.
Do we have a 501c3 entity or anything? No. No. We've had.
No, we'll talk more about that too.
What did we have? We had something for that.
Look at.
Ray Fire Company.
We had the Ray Fire Company was under, but it was a fire company.
Yep.
It was a different entity than a fire district.
So I don't know
if you know the history. Right. Justin's probably told you.
I know part of
the merger that happened with the the fire service area and the district.
Right.
So the fire service area was under a different configuration. We actually had to go to the legislature.
I believe.
Because the legislature didn't have, or the Montana Code didn't have accommodations for merging of a fire service area and a fire district. So we actually had to go to the legislature and get somebody to carry a bill for us.
We'll work on that. We actually merged the two fire departments together.
And they'd always been operating under an interlocal agreement. I will.
Good job.
Would tell.
Appreciate it.
You too.
I don't know, how long was that interlocal agreement in place? Hey, do you remember?
I started this chair. I offered Jason to meet like once.
94 or something?
No.
It was a long time. Between Ray and Sour. But then we merged the two together to form the highlight.
So, one of you, if you'd like to do that,
let me know. 2016?
Yeah, you know, like 7:30.
It was 2016.
Yeah, sure. There, something like that.
But he knows everything.
That, and I told Jason,
I don't know
how long you think it's useful. So I was about
3 Home Depot would give us a grant if we had a